Because my text is out of Matthew 10:29. So get your Bible out and take a look at it with me. This is the argument that's being presented to us. Listen to this. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground without God knowing about it? Come on. How much more valuable, how much more important, how much more God knows what's going on in your life. God has his eye on you. He's watching you right now. As a matter of fact, the scripture says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro all over the earth to do what? To show himself strong on behalf of those who love him. Let me tell you something. God, his eyes are looking right at you. And sometimes we wonder about that because it doesn't make sense. If God sees me, why doesn't he do something about what I'm feeling or what I'm experiencing? Listen, I know what that feels like. But God's eye has not been taken off of you. You know, the devil's only tool is to deceive us in the middle of a storm to think that God has forgotten us. That somehow he's watching something else and he has misplaced our life. But that's not the truth. You remember last week we talked about how God rides on the wings of the wind? Man, I'm telling you, when God shows up, when the wind shows up or the storm comes, you know that God comes. And when God comes, help comes. And when help comes, victory comes. Remember Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 4? They were in one place with one accord on the day of Pentecost. And suddenly there was a mighty rushing sound of wind that blew. And out of that wind, God literally splintered pieces of his glory off of himself upon each of them. As they sat there, tongues of fire appeared upon their heads. In the wind, there's power in the wind. When the storms begin to blow, I want you to know that God rides the wings of the wind. But I was reading another story this week, and I said, God, you know, so many of us are going through storms. So many of us are going through troubles and trials in our life. And it's easy for us to think as though God has forgotten about us. Or it's easy to come to a conclusion that we're not worth his investment. Boy, that is a lie. If God's eye is on the sparrow, then I know he's watching me. Can you remind somebody next to you gently and just tell them, hey, God's got his eye on you. Come on, God's got his eye on you. Yes, he does. You know, sometimes during the storms and the turbulent moments of our life, we can give up on our dreams. Have you ever given up on a dream? Have you ever forsaken that vision because the current circumstance you're in seems to be dictating that you are not going to make it? You have to let go? I'll give you a personal testimony. God spoke to my heart many years ago, and he said, this church will be at minimum 10,000 members that will have an impact not only in this region, but around the world. He gave us a vision for a complex of a Bible institute. He gave us a vision for apartments for transient housing for people who are in trouble and just need a place to stay for a few months. He gave us a vision for Joshua Kids. Of course, we started doing that. He gave us, you know what he gave us a vision for? A runway that people could come in with an airplane and land right behind the church property somewhere so they can come in and get ministry. I said, Lord, that's a big vision. But you know what happens? Storms come. The rain begins to fall. The winds start blowing. And it changes the landscape around you. And you know how trees are uprooted in storms? The thing that you thought was going to be stable, the thing that you thought would never move, suddenly now is lying on its side, crushing something else in its fall. Suddenly the erosion of the land around you is just shifted. Houses literally lifted up off their foundations, floating down streams and violent torrents of rain and water rushing into the ocean. You think, my God, the world is going to end. Those are storms. And in the middle of that faith believing God that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, you think, how can he do it now? Obviously, God's not seeing what's happening here. God, did you just see that house lifted off of its foundation? Did you just see that car floating down the river? Did you see the mudslide coming down that hill? God, this is terrible. Everything's on fire. Everything is flooded. Everything is upside down. The economy is collapsing. Dictatorships are being overthrown. Threats are coming from around the world. We're not really sure who to believe in. Did you know 80% of our citizens in this country are dissatisfied with the way our government is operating? 80%? It's an all-time high. People are worried. People are concerned. And it's easy in that climate to let go of your vision, to let go of your dream. And you know, the Lord would say that he's going to do these things, and then all of a sudden, in Lorraine, plants started closing down. We had a vision to move across the street and build on a 65-acre piece of property. But if you go there now, Walmart built there, Kohl's built there. It's like a death of a vision. I think, God, you gave us that vision. What happened? Suddenly, over 12,000 manufacturing jobs dried up in the city. All of a sudden, people that were making over $100,000 a year couldn't find a job. The national average is 9.1% or 9% now. Hey, that's an improvement. Anyway, 9.1%. You know what it is in Lorraine? It's now 14.5%. And it's been there and it's stayed there. And so the Lord is starting to tell me, you know what, you got to believe for the 10,000 seat auditorium. I said, well, God, how can I do that? Everything's falling apart. I've kind of let go of the vision. I've had to rethink it. I've had to retool it. I've had to resize it. But you know what? In the middle of the storm, you've got to look for the God that rides on the wings of the wind. In the middle of the torrents and the rain and the adversity of storm in your life, you've got to hold on and you've got to believe that he is the God of the storm. And that's exactly what he was trying to teach the disciples in Matthew chapter 8. And I want us to go there this morning and look at this for a few minutes, because I feel in my heart today there are people that have let go of vision. There are people that have let go of things that you knew God wanted to do, but because of changing circumstances, you're convinced that God forgot about you or that it's still not on his agenda. But let me just give you a little bit of an insight. If God said it, if God told you, then you can count on it. You can underscore it and you can underline it, because God is not a man that he should lie. Look over at somebody and say, his eye is on you. Come on, he's watching you right now. I learned something about the scripture last week. If God rides on the wings of the wind, then he rests in the eyes of my storm. Matthew chapter 8, look at it with me, verse 23. But when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, what does it say? Come on, read it with me. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. Stop right there. Because in the Greek, the word great is where we get the word mega from. It wasn't an ordinary storm. It wasn't just a flat tire. The whole engine blew up. In other words, it was a mega storm. It was something that they had never seen before. Historians had never recorded it before. This was a storm that you would remember a year in your past. Sort of like we do when we say, do you remember the storm of 69? Do you remember the storm of 87? Do you remember the snowstorm of 77 when it was 12 feet high? This was the kind of storm that the Bible calls mega. Now notice what happened. So that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. You know, I've read that story so many times, and I think, how do you sleep when the boat is covered with waves? Now, I had to look up that word covered to make sure it meant what it said. It means covered. There's no deep theology here. It just means covered. So it means the waves had covered the boat. Look at somebody and say, covered means covered. Yeah, no deep theology here. The boat was covered with water, but Jesus was asleep. Verse 25, look at this. His disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, you little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, I want you to understand something about this story. Jesus told them, in Mark's account, get in the boat because we're going to the... Say it with me again. Jesus said, get in the boat because we're going to the... Why was that important? Because Jesus didn't do anything unless the Father told him. So that means Jesus got a word from the Father. The Father said, Jesus, get in the boat. He said, yes, sir. Jesus, go to the other side. He said, yes, sir. Jesus, go to the other side and set free a region of demonic strongholds. The Gadarenes. So Jesus tells his disciple, I got a word from God. The Father spoke to me last night. He said, get up in the boat, young man. I want you to get your people with you and get in that boat together. I want you to go to the other side. And when you get out the boat and put your foot on the ground, two demonic men are going to come out of a graveyard and they're going to confront you with demon spirits. But I'm sending you there not only to set them free, but to release an entire region of demonic strongholds. Well, I don't know if it went like that, but... Kind of. That's my interpretation. Or would you like the Baptist interpretation? Or maybe the Presbyterian. I don't know. Anyway. Say this with me. It was a preemptive strike. What do I mean by that? It was this way. And it's that way for you and me. When God gives us a word. When God births a dream, when God gives a vision, the enemy knows that if he doesn't strike and strike with a mega storm, you will arrive on the other side and his kingdom will come to an end. He had no choice but to create a mega storm in the life of the disciples and Jesus in order to somehow prevent Christ from fulfilling the word that his Father gave him. You say, I don't understand why I'm going through this time in my life. I don't get it. I've done everything. I tithe, I pay, I pray, I go to church, I worship, I speak the word of God, and I've never been in such a storm like this before. I got a feeling you're about to have a major breakthrough. I got a feeling that you are about to push back some darkness. I got a feeling that the enemy is a little worried about your advance. He said, now, come on, Pastor, you're reading into this. It doesn't say all that in Matthew 8. Well, notice Jesus, after he was awakened, he comes to the deck of the boat, and he speaks to the disciples, and then he speaks to the storm, and they use a particular word that's of interest to me. It says that Jesus didn't just command the storm, he rebuked the storm. Everybody say with me, rebuked. He rebuked the storm. Now understand, when that language is used in the Bible, it talks about taking authority over spiritual entities. That tells me something about this storm. This wasn't a storm because of the convection of hot winds and cold winds. It wasn't a natural thing that just happened to come. No, it was orchestrated in the bowels of hell as a preemptive strike against the advance of the kingdom of God that was about to go into a region called the Gadarenes, set two men free, and release a region into the power and the grace and the glory of God. And the devil said, if I don't send a storm of a proportion that they had never seen before, they will bring destruction to me. It was preemptive. Just a little illustration, not on the same level. Yesterday morning, I left my house, and I was on my way to my morning workout at 7 a.m. And so I had to use my wife's car, which I don't normally drive. It's a little small for me. I mean, it's nice, but then it's, I don't really like it. I mean, I like my car. And so I'm driving in the car, and I'm just praying. It's dark out. I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. I look down. I see these lights on my dashboard. Not one light, not two, four. I mean, it was lit up like a Christmas tree. I'm thinking, this car's going to explode. I had no idea what was wrong with it. So I just kept on driving it. It didn't look like it was overheating. I thought, I'm driving by faith in Jesus above. You may not know that song, but that's a good song. So I get to my workout, and I'm thinking, I don't know what's up with this car. I got like four lights that are on in my dashboard. And guys are saying, well, you better not drive it, and maybe you better go over to Luis Rios's. His little place is just not far from there. He's a mechanic. He can check it out. He can give you another car. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I know I'm preaching Matthew chapter 8 on Sunday. I know what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to have a preemptive strike because he knows that when I finish my workout, I'm going to have my discipleship in the west. And then I'm going to drive all the way out to Valley View and do my discipleship in the east. And then I'm going to drive all the way back to Lorain and do a counseling session with somebody that's in trouble. And then I'm going to leave there and do an elders meeting following that. And he's just trying to keep me from getting where I need to go. You say, Pastor, you are crazy. So I get to Lewis's. I said, Lewis, not one, not two, four lights. So he sticks a little thing underneath the dashboard. I don't know. I didn't know that thing was under there. Did you know mechanics know there's a little thing under there that they just pop in and they have this little thing that says, it's just a filter in the emission system. And I said, how come they don't give you one of those in the trunk when you buy the car? How come they have one and it costs $199.99? But on the way there, I thought, you know, I wouldn't be in this condition if I found the key to my car, of which my daughter borrowed the other day because her headlight was out and she needed to use my car. And when I got up in the morning, I had to use my wife's car. It's all their fault. I wouldn't be in this storm. I wouldn't be in this problem. You know how it is, don't you? When you get into trouble, you're looking for somebody to put the finger on. And so Lewis said, you know, Pastor, don't worry about it. Just drive. Bring it in Tuesday and I'll fix it. I didn't ask him how much. I didn't want to go there. I said, okay, I'll see you on Tuesday. But as I was driving down 90 with all four lights on, I thought, devil, you are a liar. I am going to fulfill my assignment today. I am not going to be moved by this circumstance. Now let's get back to the story. Because the disciples saw four or five lights on in the dashboard and went berserk. Look at it. Put it back up, Matthew chapter 8. It tells us that they, Matthew 8, verse 27, 28. It's a nice hurricane, but there we go. All right. Oh, no. Back up to the front part of the story. One more. There we go. No. Too far. 24. What happened to 24? Oh, there it is. Okay. Did you see that? Miss 24. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now they began to react to the storm. And I want you to see the contrast. The disciples started to do what? React to the storm. Say it with me. React to the storm. Now when Jesus... Go forward when Jesus gets up and he says, go to the next one, verse 26. And Jesus, when he gets up and gets to the deck, he doesn't react to the storm. He doesn't say anything about the storm for which they were crying out to him to be saved from. He gets up on the boat and this is what he says. Read it with me. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? I've learned something about my storms. I'm learning something about four lights on the dashboard. Ain't no big deal. Because I got a word from God. God told me, and even if my car halfway out to Valley View broke down on the side of 90, I got enough faith to believe that one of y'all I don't know who, but one of y'all, you didn't know I was from the South, but one of y'all would have been driving by at the very time my car came to a stop. And they would have been driving by and they said, oh, I think that's the pastor. He might be in trouble. Pastor, do you need a ride? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I've learned that God's got my back. Now look at somebody and say, he's watching you. Jesus never reacted to the storm. He reacted to the disciples who were in the storm. Watch this. They actually thought, they thought the boat was going to sink with Jesus on it. The Jesus who walks on water, they're like, Lord, don't you care? We're going to perish. It's like, you are so out of touch. I walk on this stuff. It is like a duck. It rolls off my back. You got to be kidding me. Listen, this isn't a natural storm. Oh, you have little faith? Don't fear. I'm about to show you the source of this thing. And he rebukes it. He takes authority in the spirit. But he said, what I want you to do is that understand your reaction to the storm doesn't lessen the effects of the storm. Your reaction to the storm doesn't increase your faith. Your reaction to the storm doesn't bring God any closer. You know how some folks are. Oh, God, please, God. Oh, God, please, God. That doesn't bring him any closer than what he already is. Look at somebody and say, just take a chill, all right? Just chill out. Let me say this. Are you ready? I don't know if you can handle it, but I'm going to say it anyway. His attacks against you will probably escalate whenever you are on the right track or on the edge of a significant breakthrough. Is anybody in here in a storm? Well, let me tell you, I am so excited to let you know that you're about to experience the other side. Because if God said it, he'll make it happen. He said, even as the snow and the rain descend on the ground and bring forth the harvest, my word will not return void. It will accomplish what I sent it to accomplish. Come on, give him some praise. Come on, give him some praise. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah, you know, this is the secret of the storms. Understanding that I always wanted to be a meteorologist. I wanted that AMS seal of approval. I wanted to be Dick Goddard's protege. I did. When I was a kid, I'm like, I want to do that. I want to do that, you know, look over at the monitor at the green screen and say, we have rain here and we have wind down here, more at 11. I could do that. That's an easy thing, right? I always wanted to do that. I don't know a lot about weather, but I know enough about weather that hurricanes are dangerous. But you notice every hurricane has a little dot in the middle. I found out that at 74 miles an hour, there forms a wall in the hurricane called the eye. And the wind can escalate to maybe even 200 or excess to 200 miles an hour just outside the eye. But inside the eye, it's a calm breeze of 5 to 15 miles an hour. Don't ask me how. On the other side of that eye wall, it's 200 miles an hour. But on the inside of the eye wall, it's only a calm breeze of 5 to 15. Wait, there's more. Because on the other side of the eye wall, there's black cloud and there is torrential downpour and there are winds that will shear a roof right off of a house. But on the inside of the eye wall, there's blue sky and sunshine. And I thought, God, are you my eye in the middle of my storm? If you ride the wings of the wind, you certainly must rest in the eye of my storm. I know there's a place in God that if he told me, it's going to come to pass. If God said it, then I can rely on it. And I know that this storm is only proof text of God's faithfulness. Learn not to overreact to your storm. It'll get you to do stupid things. You take matters into your own hands. You begin to say things that you wish you could pull back and put back inside your mouth. It'll get you to agree with the will of the devil. Remember, it's a preemptive strike because the enemy knows that you are awesome in Jesus. You are filled with the Spirit of God. You and I are children of the Most High God. We've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. Know ye not, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Oh my, think about it with me. The devil looks at us and he trembles. And he said, the only way I can defeat them is to deceive them into thinking that the current storm they're in, there's no place of rescue. But I've learned something about the eye of the storm. And Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, I got a word from God. We're going over to the Gadarenes. And you can take that home to the bank. You can believe that if God said it, it's going to come to pass. Know this, not only is he in the eye of your storm, but you are the apple of his eye. The Bible can be interpreted that way as saying the center of his focus. He has you as the apple of his eye. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 3, verses 5 to 6. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me. All around, I lay down and slept in the midst of 10,000 people all around me. The psalmist further declared in chapter 4, verse 8, or the Psalms 4, verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. James the apostle, beheaded for his faith, writes a portion of scripture that when I was first saved, I read this and I thought, I don't get it. Dear brothers and sisters, you know, when somebody says that to you, you know something's coming. Dear brothers and sisters, you know, it's like, okay, what? When trouble comes. Trouble? You mean I'm going to have trouble? I thought I just gave my life to Jesus and everything was going to be wonderful and coming up roses and tiptoeing through tulips and I got faith in God and I believe and I confess and I speak the word. Why is that in the Bible? I didn't write it. I just read it. When trouble comes your way. Whoops, not my way. Duck, sorry, get the guy behind me. I'll be praying for you. Now look at somebody and just say gently, your way. When trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity. This man was probably insane. For great joy. Now look at the next verse because this is really insightful. For you know. And that's the key in the storm. You got to come to a place that you know. That God is going to do what he said. James said, count it all joy, because you know. You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. I love the next part of this verse. This is the hard part. So let it grow. Opportunity for great joy. Let it grow. Are you kidding? I'm driving along and the lights come on. And I'm thinking, okay, car ain't going to make it. Well, I got faith that one of my brothers and sisters are going to see me on the side of the road. Angels will transport. Let it grow. Let it grow. But you don't know what I'm going through. Let it grow. What? What's growing? The trouble? The storm? No. Watch. Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, You will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I'm walking in this life. I'm journeying in this life as a believer in Christ. I'm going to arrive at the destination called needing nothing. Paul said it, I've learned to be content in all things, whether I have much or whether I have little. Ain't no big deal, because I have let it grow. We need to learn how to let it grow. Now, after the disciples saw the storm, you know, calmed, notice what Jesus said. Mega storm, mega calm. God has a mega calm for your mega storm. Then it says they marveled, or they were astonished. And they said, could this be the Son of God? You know what the word marvel actually gives us an understanding of in the Greek? It actually means they really didn't know he was that powerful. Marvel means we knew him as Jesus, but we didn't know him as the Son of God who can speak to a storm. Truly, this must be the Son of God. See, they only have known him like Lois knew him. Put up my picture of Clark. Yeah, see, you come to church and you know Jesus as Clark Kent. You're in love with him. You're Lois and you're in love with him and you want him to be your boyfriend, but he's got all this erratic behavior. You're really not sure. You're kind of like wondering what about him, and you've never really known him as... Yay! Jesus isn't Clark Kent. He's Superman. And that's what the word marvel meant. They've only known him on the level of Clark. Now, after the storm, they know him as super. Come on, say it with me. Get your hands like this. You ready? This is going to be fun. Okay, you got to do it like that, right? Ready? Super, 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 supernatural power. You got to get to a point where you know him as your super, super. I had a Superman outfit I was going to wear this morning. I was going to rip off my shirt. I couldn't do it. I thought, that is so corny. They are going to think I have lost a screw, a nut, a bolt, and everything else. Because I didn't just want the t-shirt. I wanted the padded muscles under it. I mean, I wasn't going to show you my bony frame. I was going, let me tell you, you might be in the middle of the storm, but your Clark is about to reveal his super. You're in the middle of a storm and you haven't seen his power on this level before because you haven't seen a storm to this degree before. But know this, he's going to be always on time. Faster than a speeding bullet. Faster than a roaring train. Come on, come on. He is the supernatural power and might of God. And he is in the eye of your storm. Can I give you one more illustration? You got time? It's 1:21 if you're taking medicine. Just in case you needed to take. In case you needed to take your pill. It's 1:21. All right. Acts 27. I don't know why I say dumb things. I don't know. You know what it is? I think it's like deformity or something. I'm not sure. I get in the car on the way home and I'm thinking, gosh, you're an idiot. I mean, I actually rode a surfboard last week and I did Wipeout. Thinking, are you dumb or what? Anyway, Acts 27, it was Paul the Apostle. He was on board ship. Where was he headed? Rome, right? Wasn't he going to go to Rome? Was he going to appear before Caesar? Did he make appeal or something like that, right? Didn't God say you're going to go? Yeah, he got a word. But he ended up on a ship who ended up in a storm. As a matter of fact, it was a hurricane. If you interpret the Greek, it was a hurricane. Oh, hallelujah, it's a hurricane. Hallelujah. Why? Because no other storm would do. I want a hurricane. Why? Because it has an eye. He said, take heart, men. I believe God. Say it with me. Come on. I believe God. Come on, say it. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. Jesus, yes, Father. Go to the other side and kick the devil's booty. On the way there, storm arose. Mega storm. Jesus said, no, I believe it'll be just as the Father told me. May not look good. It may not look like it's going to be, but I got a word from God, and He is not a man that He should lie. Come on, look at somebody and say, He's still watching you. Even at 1:24, He's still watching you. Look at the next verse, verse 26 or 29. Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. Understand, this was a hurricane. This ship was breaking apart, and they dropped four anchors. You know why they dropped four anchors? Because the first anchor was what you and I have to drop, an anchor of courage. The anchor of courage, it's our muscle of faith. We believe God. Secondly, an anchor of protection. In verse 23, Paul said, I talked to an angel last night. He appeared in the middle of the night and he told me, this is what he said. He said that he stood by me and the angel of God to whom I belong and serve, he said, we're going to make it. Hey, I have an anchor of courage. I have an anchor of protection. Oh, I pray a release of angelic beings all around your life right now in the midst of your storm. The anchor of purpose. The storm changes nothing. Come on, say it with me. The storm changes nothing. It didn't alter what God said. The storm changes nothing other than your mind. No. My mind is fixed. My mind is stayed on Him. The Bible said that he whose mind is stayed on Him shall have what? Perfect peace. Come on, shout it. Perfect peace. I'm not changing my mind about what God said. So I had to get my blueprints back out. I had to start seeing airplanes land on the airport behind the church building or behind the property God's going to give us. I had to see the Bible Institute where students come from all over the world to learn the Word of God. I had to see a complex of over 10,000 seats. I had to drive back down by the Woolstein Center and said, this is what your building is going to look like because God wants many souls to be saved. I had to get my dream back. Come on, get your dream back. Come on, get your dream back. Don't you let go. The storm changes nothing. Come on, the storm changes nothing. God didn't change His mind. The anchor of His presence. John Maxwell, great motivational speaker and leader, said this, you have to give up in order to go up. And sometimes the thing I thought was the most important, I ended up jettisoning because I didn't need it. And it lightened my load. I would have never let it go had it not been for the storm. I'd have never got rid of it had it not been for the storm. But I thank God for my storms because I'm on the other side, lean, mean, and full of the Holy Ghost. I'm a fighting machine. I'm coming to the other side, and the Gadarenes, you better look out. I'm about to set my foot down on the shore. And as soon as I do, you're going to be confronted. Isaiah 61, verse 2. We used to sing this song. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builder rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. Round me is sinking sand. On Christ that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builder rejected. Run to the mountain and the mountain stands by me. Oh, yeah. Oh, underground in the sinking sand. On Christ, that solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Come on, put your hands in the air. Put your hands in the air. Come on, say it with super, super. Super, super. Super, super. I don't know who wrote it. I can't give them credit for it. But this is what they said. Faith. Faith enables me to navigate through the storm, carrying my calm with me. I navigate through the storm, but I didn't leave without my calm, because I know it's only a matter of time before Jesus rebukes the storm. If you're here today with a storm brewing, maybe in the middle of one, wondering if God's taken his eye off of you, it's not so. If his eye is on the sparrow, come on, say, if his eye, don't say, you got to sing it. If his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he's watching me. See, I've got a confession I want to give you. Can I give it to you? Put it up on the screen. I want you to decree and declare it with me, but you got to stand and do it, or you got to get mean. It says this, I declare that, every attack, every storm of the devil is my opportunity to see a demonstration of the power of God. I refuse to react to the storm. I will come to the realization that Jesus is my eye in the midst of the storm. I realize this present trial is the enemy's preemptive strike to undo the work of God. Therefore, my faith will enable me to navigate through this present battle and reach the other side. Since God rides on the wings of the wind, I know he rests in the eye of this present storm. Therefore, I will not fear. I will not be defeated. I will not overreact in fear. I will call upon him who rebukes the storm and carries my calm. Three hallelujahs. Are you ready? Hallelujah. 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 Now give the Lord some praise. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Can you cross the aisle and take somebody by the hand this morning? Pray one for another tonight. Come on, let's pray and believe God that no matter what they're going through right now, that God is able. Come on, pray with them, pray with them, pray with them. Father, we pray one for another right now. We know, God, that no matter what the future holds, we know you hold the future. We know that, God, no matter what storm comes, what winds begin to blow, Father, we're going to look for the eye. We're going to look for the wall of the storm. We're going to look for the calm, oh God, that will navigate us through that storm. No matter what comes against us, we know that when you are in us, when you are on us, when you are around us, when the Holy Ghost, God, is upon us, that this storm shall not bring an end, but it is only another opportunity. I pray, God, that they would let it grow. I pray, God, that they they would come out on the other side with more endurance, with more faith, with more resolution, that if God be for me, who can be against me? I thank you today, God, that you are the glory and you are the lifter of their heads. I thank you, God, that you are a shield all around them. And I bless them now in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I thank you, God, that they're not breaking down, but they're breaking through. That the present life storm is just a preemptive strike of the enemy. But Satan, the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Now, Wednesday night, don't miss it. We've got a very special guest coming Wednesday night. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Chuck and Tony. They're going to help me out in my Christian home series. Last Wednesday, we preached on three red flags. If you didn't get a chance to get that message, I preached myself happy. It was a great message. Help you understand that when your marriage is in trouble and the flags are flying, don't look for an alternative pathway. I think it'll be a blessing to you. But don't miss Wednesday. Then, Leon Timbo, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. You need a place to stay. You want to camp out. You say, Pastor, can we just sleep at the church? Bring a sleeping bag, man. Stay there all night. Well, let's just believe that God will have a powerful demonstration of His glory. Remember, worship, final stage of belief. We're thankful for you. We're praying for you. If I don't see you on this side, I'll see you on the north side. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. See you.